And if you want to know what you ought to be doing with your life, you need to look at your shape. What am I wired to do? Why would God wire you to do something and then have you do it? If you're wired to be an anthropologist, you'd be an anthropologist. If you're wired to be an undersea explorer, you'd be an undersea explorer. If you're wired to make deals, you make deals. If you're wired to paint, you paint. Did you know that God smiles when you be you? When my kids are little, they're all grown now, I have grandkids. I used to go in and sit on the side of their bed and I used to watch my kids sleep. And I just watched their little bodies rise and lower, rise and lower. I would look at them and go, this is not an accident. Rise and lower. And I got joy out of just watching them sleep. Some people have the misguided idea that God only gets excited when you're doing, quote, spiritual things, like going to church or helping the poor or, you know, confessing or doing something like that. The bottom line is, God gets pleasure watching you be you. Why? He made you. And when you do what you were made to do, he goes, that's my boy. That's my girl. You're using the talent and the ability that I gave you. So my advice to you is, look at what's in your hand, your identity, your influence, your income, and say, it's not about me, it's about making the world a better place. Thank you.
VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
Well, thank you, Gordon Morris, and welcome to Crosstalk. It's our privilege to have you with us today. You know, in past months, in fact, several years now, we've had people that have been burning a trail to various bookstores or promotional agencies and saying, I want the purpose-driven book. In fact, the story about the purpose-driven life made headlines when a drug-crazed individual took somebody hostage. And the story came out that the person who was being held hostage got out the purpose-driven life book and began to read to the hostage holder all of the purposes of his life. And allegedly, the story goes that she was released as a result of reading the purpose-driven book. What the other side of the story didn't tell was that she had been dosing him with crack cocaine during this period of time. And he was so drugged up that apparently he was in delusion. Well, the issue of being purpose-driven, obviously, everybody wants to be purpose-driven. But there has been a product that's been developed within the framework of theology that has somehow taken the world by storm. In fact, almost like a Pied Piper, where we have to be purpose-driven. The man who wrote it is Rick Warren. A man who, under the watchful eye of many, has taken positions on theological issues that are highly questionable. Many of the things he says are good. Some of the things he says are not good. The only person, however, that could carefully evaluate this would be a pastor who takes the time to consider the needs of his flock and to take the Rick Warren's writings on purpose-driven and then evaluate on the basis of God's Word how this would apply. One such pastor is Larry DeBrine. He's been the pastor of Franklin Road Baptist Church in Indianapolis, Indiana, for the past 21 years and has served in the ministry for 38 years. He's the author of a new book called Church on the Rise, Why I Am Not a Purpose-Driven Pastor. We're going to have some interesting conversation today, and Pastor Larry DeBrine, nice to have you with us.
Good to be with you, Vic.
Larry, first of all, tell us how you came to write this book.
Well, it's kind of been a work in progress for a few years. I began to sense the urgency for the book last year in 2006 in November when I was in Hungary teaching at the Word of Life Bible Institute there, and I had a massive coronary, and my life was almost gone. And as I was suffering from my coronary, I was crying out to the Lord that he would take me because the pain was so intense. And I had a few thoughts that ran through my mind as I was thinking that I was dying and that I was going to see the Lord. And of course, one thought was that I wasn't going to be able to say goodbye to my wife and tell her I loved her for the final time. The second thing was that I wasn't going to be able to say goodbye to my boys. And the church that I had pastored for these 21 years, I was going to leave them rather abruptly. And there were a number of thoughts that went through my mind, but the last thought that went through my mind was, well, I'm not going to finish the book that I was working on. And so after I had been hospitalized in Hungary for 8 days and 3 days in intensive care, and then I got back to the United States, I decided to set a priority in my recovery time as opposed to just sitting around. I decided that I would make a priority to investigate this subject and to explain to my church why I do not identify with the purpose-driven philosophy of local church ministry. So that's kind of the foundation of why I did what I did.
Well, now, the term purpose-driven obviously has some positive sounds to
it. Sure, it does.
I mean, everybody wants to have a purpose, and people that do things want to do things on purpose, meaning that there was a purpose for what they did. But chapter two of your book deals with corporate marketing being used among evangelicals. And some would say, well, everything else is marketed. Why not the church? So tell us why you object.
Well, I think there's a great danger when a ministry becomes an industry. And when, in fact, you know, a lot of money is involved, there's certain, perhaps, compromises that are made. I'm not prepared to make that judgment, but I think that there are those compromises that are made in order to maintain the industry as opposed to the ministry. And, you know, 1 Timothy chapter 6 is an interesting passage of Scripture because it does speak to us concerning the subject of money, and I'm sure most of the listeners are aware of it, where it says that the love of money is the root of all evil. The text says, for the love of money is the root of all sorts of evil, and some by longing for it have wandered away from the faith and have pierced themselves with many a pang. Now, I'm just suggesting here, without being personal, that the love of money, or the industry, as we would say, can corrupt the ministry. And what we see here is that this is not a text of Scripture that is directed to Wall Street. This is a text of Scripture that is directed towards the church and leaders of the church, and it tells us how money can have a corrupting influence upon us. And so I felt that, you know, I was more interested in the message, really, than the management techniques, because after all, that was my burden when I was first called into the ministry way back in, you know, the late 60s. I had a burden to teach the Word of God to people because the Bible had become very meaningful in my life. And as a result, I gave my life to that and attended theological school for 4 years, submitted myself to the disciplines of theological training, and then I graduate from that school, and I find myself about, you know, 30 years into the ministry, and I find out that that's not necessary anymore, that management techniques are more important than the message, and I just so thoroughly believe that the message is what's important and not the methods or the management or anything else. All those things have their place, obviously. They're not primary with me.
Pastor Larry, I can only say a strong amen to what you've said. Several years ago, we flew to Denver with a camera crew, and we were going to cover some of the events happening at the Christian Booksellers Association. And as we came there, we were there at the opening plenary session, and the gigantic video screen came alive with a thunderous roar of audio and rock and roll music. And then on the screen was the first visage that you saw was the cash drawer of a cash register opening. And then the powerful voice of the narrator came out and says, you are God's chosen vessel to bring the gospel to this world. You, and the cash drawer flies open and is talking to the marketeers, the booksellers. You are God's chosen vessel. Well, I thought the church was God's chosen vessel. Well, I happen to be a broadcaster that's been around for almost 50 years. I was involved with the NRB way back in the years of Herod the King. I remember my first breakfast with with the NRB. I was honored to be on the platform and eating breakfast with President Ford. And there in Washington, D.C., we saw many things happen. And over the years, have watched the strange development of the broadcast ministry turning into the broadcast industry.